Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jake Trotter, ESPN, covers the Browns with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Jake, are you surprised Browns did nothing today?
Well, I'm not surprised they didn't get Trent Williams. Even going back a couple of weeks, kept hearing it was going to take Washington coming way down on their asking price potentially for that to happen. And obviously that did not. And then, oh, by the way, Williams is into this holdout. He'll be with Washington on the field going forward. I thought they might make a smaller deal for like a tackle because they desperately need one, considering they're playing a guard at left tackle at the moment. That surprised me a little bit. But, you know, as John Dorsey said, it takes two to tango. And clearly there's no movement out there, you know, not just in Cleveland, but anywhere. The wheels were definitely not greased for this NFL trade deadline.
Yeah, it was very surprising after we've seen a lot. There has been a lot of action in the recent weeks, but not today. You know, Jake, I think they did the right thing in not trading for Trent Williams. When you're 2-5, you're obviously a long shot to make the playoffs. To me, it makes no sense to give up a first-round pick for him right now. What do you think?
Well, right now, that's a top-10 pick. I mean,
right.
You know, go draft a left tackle at that point, you know, if that's where the pick is going to be. And listen, if they trade for Trent Williams, like, they're definitely better. It definitely solves one of their bigger issues. But it doesn't mean they're making the playoffs all of a sudden. You know, it doesn't mean that they're going to stop committing penalties or turning the ball over and making mental errors. So, you know, that alone was not going to fix this team. And on the other side of it, they could still make the turnaround even without Trent Williams. So I'm with you on that. You know, I would not have traded a first round for Trent Williams a second. Yeah, I would have done that because, you know, who knows? But for a first-round pick, especially considering that it might be a really good pick, the way that this season has gone for Cleveland, definitely would not have done that.
Jake, I'm the mindset that this team's going to rattle off like 5 in a row, 6 of 7, or something like that, because I really do think that the team's not as bad as their record. They made a lot of mistakes, but the schedule's going to do them a ton of favors here down the stretch. Am I crazy, or are you with me?
I'm like halfway with you. It feels like this team could lose to almost anybody right now with the penalties and the turnovers. They're just not good enough to overcome that. You know, never mind New England. I think against, you know, average teams, they're not good enough to overcome that. That being said, Tennessee, case in point. That being said, they have played the second toughest schedule in the NFL to this point, and they have the second easiest schedule down the stretch. With games against Cincinnati and Miami and, you know, even Pittsburgh, who didn't look that great last night either. So the opportunity is there. But if they go to Denver, for example, this weekend and lose, I mean, I don't see any way that they are going to, you know, rally and all of a sudden win the AFC North. It's a huge game for them. I think it's going to be, you know, a real tone setter for them in the second half of the season. And if they play well and win, then okay. Now you've got some very winnable games down the stretch, but I think the thing that's disconcerting at this point is just the way that they have looked in some of these losses with the mistakes that are a lot of times unforced, you know, the penalties and the turnovers. I mean, you just can't win in the NFL doing that kind of stuff, no matter how talented you are. But I do agree that, you know, it's there for them. If they play their game and, you know, don't beat themselves, yeah, I mean, they could go 8-8, 9-7, and who knows, this year that might be good enough to win a really watered-down AFC North where you only really have to beat one team, and that's Baltimore. And, oh, by the way, you've beaten them already, and you get them at home in December.
Yeah, we're talking with Jake Trotter, ESPN. I'm on the opposite side of this, and I was all gung-ho. And I picked the Browns to win 11 games before the season, Jake, but I'm going the opposite as Dustin here. I know they'll win some games, certainly, because they're better than almost every team they're playing. But there's nothing I've seen in these first 7 games that makes me think they'll be consistently clean enough to win all the games against these bad teams.
Yeah, and I'm sort of with you on that. That's why I'm not as optimistic.
Yeah.
that they're going to win like seven in a row. I mean, there's nothing we've seen to suggest that they're capable of playing well enough to win seven games in a row. I mean, really, you look at the Baltimore game, you're like, okay, I can see this team, putting it together. I mean, outside that, they played the Jets, and Jets, were down to the third string quarterback. It's hard to even count that game. And otherwise, they either A, got blown out, or B, shot themselves in the foot too much to win. So I think that unless, again, they make a stark turnaround, and like you asked them, I don't think they know how to get this correct. It's a very difficult thing to eliminate mental mistakes. That's not something that really often gets eliminated during the season. That's something that gets eliminated in August and March and April. And it's just hard to say, like, okay, we're going to do this, and all of a sudden we're going to stop turning the ball over. We're going to stop leading the league in penalties. Like, if they knew what the answer was, they would have made that correction already. It's a bunch of intangibles that go into that, and concentration and focus and discipline. And to me, that's really hard to correct in the middle of the season.
How much is Freddie Kitchens to blame here for the start of the season?
Well, it's not all his fault. Players definitely are accountable for the way this has gone. But like, if you're the most penalized team in the NFL through seven games going back to 2015, if you lead the league in the turnovers or interceptions, and you're just not a very disciplined football team in various different ways, it's got to fall on the head coach. I mean, I think Freddie would tell you that falls on the head coach. He's a big hand in where the Browns are right now. But also, too, I mean, like, John Dorsey has brought in some of these guys that, they've had issues with. So it's not just Freddie Kitchens. And, John Dorsey, maybe hasn't addressed the offensive line like they needed him to. Baker Mayfield has made mistakes that, we're not accustomed to make. It's a lot of guys, a lot of people are accountable for the way the season has gone. But at the end of the day, I mean, Freddie is most accountable. That falls on the head coach, fair or not. And I think Freddie, would be the one to tell you that as well. And it's going to be on him to figure out a way to get it corrected, which, again, I don't know, how easy that's going to be in the middle of the season for them to do.
Is there ever, to this point, has there been any talks about him remaining the head coach? I mean, do you think is there anything that he could do to not be back next year? Or do you think because of the firing history in the past, I mean, he's pretty much guaranteed to get a shot to coach us for a couple years?
Well, I don't think it's guaranteed. I mean, if they go 4-12 and, they continue to do all this stuff that's gotten them to 2-5, I think everything would have to be on the table at that point. But, John Dorsey was pretty strong in his comments backing Freddie just a week ago. So, you hear this national chatter about, could Freddie get fired this week? I mean, I was even asked that question by, somebody in Bristol. And I'm like, there's no way that John Dorsey could say what he said last week and then all of a sudden decide, he's going to, he's going to fire Freddie, a week later. So, I think they're going to give Freddie the chance to turn it around. John Dorsey said last week that, Freddie's still a first-year head coach and he's learning, and he's impressed with the way that Freddie has come along. But they're going to have to show some improvement too for anybody to feel safe, I think, about their jobs the way the season has gone. And I mean, here's the other thing too, falls on Dorsey a little bit if this goes haywire with Freddie. And the next coach that John Dorsey would hire, the person with the most pressure at that point is not going to be the coach.
That's right. We're talking with Jake Trotter of ESPN. You're right. That's true. I do think – I don't know how Freddie how John Dorsey, though, Jake, could really believe that. I mean, this last game in particular, those two challenges were awful. The fake the taking the penalty on purpose was one of the dumbest things I have ever seen in the NFL.
Not
I mean,
great.
Yeah, I mean, he's just made so many egregiously bad moves. And then he goes into these press conferences and he defends them with you guys, which is – it just blows my mind.
Yeah, and here's the deal. They didn't lose the game because they decided they were going to take a delay of game penalty and go for it there at the end. They didn't lose the game because of the challenges. But when you lead the league in penalties and you lead the league in turnovers and mental mistakes, that stuff gets magnified, the errors and challenges and and you know, the fourth and nine draw, if you want to go back a couple weeks. So those kind of teams, really stand out. So, yeah, I mean, I think Freddie's job is definitely on the line. I mean, I don't see how you can say that a team that might be the biggest disappointment in the NFL, if that's not the case. But I do think they're going to give him the opportunity to correct it just based on everything John Dorsey said. I don't know how he can go back on being so behind Freddie just a few days ago.
We're talking with Jake Trotter of ESPN. You're right. They're certainly not going to fire him during the season, but you're right. If this goes really off the rails and they finish with four or five wins, we'll see at the end of the year. Now, Jake, in the press conference yesterday, Freddie made a weird comment about Rashard Higgins. There's been something going on, we think, because it seemed odd that he was active for the Seahawks game and then he didn't play. And then Higgins said one thing, Freddie said another. Then a couple days later, Freddie said another thing. And Freddie said, go ask Higgins. He'll have a different answer yesterday. I thought they would trade him. It seems like something's going on there. What do you make of this whole situation right now?
I don't know, but ask me this time tomorrow, and maybe I'll have a better answer because I am going to go ask Higgins what the deal is going on. I mean, I don't know. Maybe physically he acted like he was ready, and he really wasn't. It's hard to say. I mean, it is interesting their confidence in Callaway, especially the way that Callaway has played. It's a little bit puzzling. So you wonder, like, what exactly is going on? But it is. Yeah, I found it curious too, and I don't really have a good explanation for you because I don't think anybody does.
Yeah,
right now.
That's fascinating, and I'm surprised too. I thought maybe he'd get traded today, frankly, because he's not playing. I mean, I don't know if there was
not
like
playing.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to start playing more?
No, I think that Callaway is clearly the number three wide receiver. I mean, I haven't seen anything to suggest otherwise.
Jake, today. You had a tweet from Mack Wilson talking about changing the culture. Is there a culture issue with this team right now?
I tweeted that today?
No, Mack Wilson tweeted that today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, like, when you are leading the league in penalties, like, you have a culture issue. I mean, you're not a focused team. You're not a disciplined team. Now, I don't think, like, this has gotten to the level of the Philadelphia Eagles. And you know, you automatically think about guys like Baker and Odell Beckham and, you know, at least as of a few days ago, I can hear things about the way Beckham is handling everything. I know some of his post-game comments kind of got blown out of proportion a little bit, but he is, you know, he's been I think almost a pillar of stability for this team, the way things have gone, because imagine if he were, if he were rocking the boat, how unstable everything would seem. And that hasn't been the case. So, they just need to be more, like, focused, like, a more disciplined team on the field. But, as far as the culture, I think, were they talking a little bit too much in the offseason given what they had accomplished? Probably so. But I don't think there's, like, infighting from everything that I've heard in the locker room right now, if that's the suggestion.
Do you think there's any, from any circles, a loss of faith in Freddie or even Baker by anybody in the franchise?
Well, I mean, they're not saying that.
Yeah.
But I think that, it's fair to wonder if they're wondering. I think Freddie doesn't have nearly as much of a leash as Baker did, but that's usually the case when it comes to coaches versus players. And, Freddie is a first-time head coach, whereas I think Baker is a little bit more of a track record as a quarterback, even though a lot of it was in college. But I mean, I think it's human to wonder, like, okay, is all this going to work the way that we thought before the season, or even the end of last year? But I think to your question, that we're not there on Baker the way that I think we're getting there on Freddie, and that's just the nature of the way the league works, where when you're a coach, you don't have as much runway as if you're a number one overall pick and a quarterback that was, declaring a franchise guy not too long.
Jake, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, guys.
All right, Jake Trotter, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.